Denise Glenn clearly remembers how she and her husband marked their 7th anniversary. It was with a very strained conversation.
And I told him I was leaving. I said, David, I've had it. I am out of here. I cannot do this anymore. Tomorrow morning, I'm packing up the children and I am leaving. Nancy, I praise God that in that moment, He intervened in our lives.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 11th.
Well, as you know, we have a mission here at Revive Our Hearts, and it's to help women experience freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ. And we focus on both the vertical and the horizontal relationships. First, our relationship with the Lord. That's why our hearts have to be revived before we can be the women God wants us to be in every sphere and season of life. And then as our relationship with Him is right, He uses us as His instruments of His redemptive plan in others' lives, whether it's in marriage or as a mother, as a woman in the workplace. He wants us to be in every way spreading the fragrance of who Christ is. And it's that vertical and that horizontal relationship that we focus on day after day here on Revive Our Hearts. And we talk a lot about mentoring, about legacy, about older women, teaching younger women, passing on the baton of truth to the next generation. And one of the things that I have found helpful in my own life is to get to hear the stories of women who have a vibrant and vital walk with the Lord, true women, as we like to say around here, and who are living out the mandates of the gospel, who are mature women who walk with the Lord and have a seasoned walk with Him, so that we have a pattern, an example to look to. And as they follow Christ, we can follow their example. And it's a joy to welcome to the studio today a new friend, Denise Glenn. Some of you are familiar with her writings, with her ministry. We'll be talking more about that. But she is a Titus 2 woman, not an old woman, but an older woman who is being used by God in a significant way to help younger women come to know the Lord and His ways in every sphere of life. So Denise, welcome. Welcome to Revive Our Hearts. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm delighted to be here. It's my pleasure.
And with that setup I just gave you, you know, true woman, Titus 2 woman, older woman, you got a lot to live up to now.
I don't know if I can do that, but I love the Lord Jesus, and He's taken me on a journey, and I love to share that because it's through our life experiences that I think the Word comes alive for those that we're sharing with.
And you have had a lot of life experiences. You've walked a journey and are further down the road than some of our listeners. And at the same season of many of our listeners, we have a lot of older women who listen as well. And I think they're going to be encouraged as to how their life can influence younger women around them. So we want to just hear about your journey. And I think our listeners are going to really enjoy hearing just a testimony of a woman who is in process, but seeking the Lord and knowing Him and making Him known. And Denise, let me just, for those of our listeners who are not familiar with your ministry, tell them that the name of your ministry is Motherwise, and it's a mentoring and teaching ministry, helping mothers, and not just mothers, women of God in all seasons of life, to know how to experience the reality of Christ in their lives and in their various family relationships. So you've written a number of books that we're going to make available through our website. Well, if listeners will go to reviveourhearts.com, they can get a link to your website, Motherwise, and this is a ministry God is entrusted to you and your businessman husband. You're currently living in Perth, Australia.
I am.
Down under.
It is 11,000 miles from here, so it is a long way. Perth, the most remote city on the face of the earth. So God literally took us to the end of the earth.
And He brought you back for this interview, but not just for this interview. It gave you a chance to see your
8 grandchildren and 3 daughters all living in the Houston area. So it's been delightful. I've gotten a chance to visit with the family.
Well, we're so glad you had a good reason that you wanted to see them and that gave us a chance to talk with you as well. And we were talking last night over dinner, and when I asked you about your marriage, your eyes kind of lit up. You love David, and God has blessed you with just a rich and fruitful, blessed marriage. But it wasn't always that way.
No,
it
wasn't.
So take us back to how you met this man and some of the early days of that marriage.
David and I were 18 and 20 when we first met and got married at the end of my sophomore year, his senior year at the university, and just madly in love. I mean, he was so handsome and wore cute clothes and drove a great car. What else do you need? And, you know, godly, he was the president of the Christian organization on our campus. We both went to church every Sunday. We were both from West Texas, not just Texas, West Texas. You know, we got each other. And we really believed, because we were so madly in love and because we had so much in common, the Lord and our culture, that marriage would just be a piece of cake. I don't know what I was thinking. But when we had been married 3 days, I cried myself to sleep. I literally thought to myself, I have flushed my life down the toilet. This is the worst thing.
Why? What made you think this?
Well, our expectations going into marriage, I had my expectations and David had his. You know,
how were they different?
David's family is a ranching family and wonderful, precious family, but hardworking. And so for them, family life means hard work, and you don't sit around, you know, telling each other every minute of the day how much you love each other and all that. They have a lot of hard work to do and they do it well. My family, I come from a family of four girls. My daddy is a minister of music and very affectionate. And so I grew up with this lovey-dovey, kissy-huggy family who was always very verbally affectionate. When we had literally just been married a few days, we had no money for a honeymoon, so David went to work. We got married on Saturday night. I'd taken finals on Thursday, got married on Saturday night, and on Monday, I'm a housewife in a home, having no clue. What do wives do? I don't know what wives do. And David went off to work and came home and found his 19-year-old wife with boxes piled to the ceiling, hadn't even opened one, playing solitaire on the floor, because I don't know what wives do. And he walked in and went, "Where is dinner?" I looked around the house and I went, "I don't know, where's dinner?" And he didn't think it was funny. And in that moment, he began to criticize me. And this is his testimony. He tells it. I'm not telling on him. He started letting me know what wives do. And his expectation was his mom, who, bless her, is a gourmet cook, made his father's ties, silk ties. I mean, unbelievable woman. I mean, love her to death. But I couldn't measure up to that. And my expectation is that my husband would walk in the door and tell me how wonderful I was and how much fun we were going to have. And he was going to take me on a 50-year date. You know, I mean, what was this work thing? So our expectations immediately were shattered. My knight fell off his, you know, horse. And
you had no clue of this when you were dating?
None. Because in our dating relationship, it didn't resemble anything of the expectations and even the responsibilities of marriage. I was a teenager. Yeah. So I was still living in the dorm, eating dorm food. What my story is, Nancy, is that my heart's cry is for churches and mentoring moms to actually invest in young families, young couples who they know are going to get married, and to begin training them with God's word and God's principles of marriage. And in our case, that just didn't happen. Somebody showed us a Birth of the Baby film, and that was it. That was our premarital counseling. So we'd had no training in the word of God. We did not know what our roles were. We didn't know what we were supposed to be doing. We literally had been in church every Sunday of our lives. I was born on a Sunday, for crying out loud. And in church 2 weeks later. But if someone preached a sermon on marriage and the roles in marriage, I'm sure I was chewing gum talking to my friends, but I didn't hear it. So at that point, our marriage began to spiral down. And we started this arguing pattern in our relationship. We had never done that as in our dating life. But as married partners then, the more he criticized me, the more I fussed back to him. And so there was this negative, critical arguing cycle that we began to get in. And I shut down my heart. I put up a wall, literally third night of marriage, put up a wall in my heart that said, you are not going to hurt me like that. I am not going to let you in to that deep and intimate place in my heart. I'll give you my body. I'll learn how to cook, but you're not going to have my heart. And I backed off emotionally and began to build a wall. Well, it just started little by little by little. But Nancy, after 7 long years of building a wall between us, David didn't come from a real touchy-feely family, and so he wasn't totally in touch with where I was emotionally. He was like, okay, fine, you know, as long as you do sex and food, that's all that marriage is about anyway. So he didn't know what his role was.
Was there a lot through those 7 years? Could somebody looking in have seen there's tension here, there's conflict?
Absolutely. There were nights we stayed up all night long, literally until 5 o'clock in the morning, fighting and arguing. And sometimes it was Saturday night. And then we'd get up and take a shower and put on our Sunday school smile and go to church. Hello, go teach Sunday school. No one knew. We did not share it with our family. We didn't share it with our friends. No one knew.
But you both knew.
We knew. The war that was brewing between us on our 7th anniversary. Okay, we had gone through so many things together. We'd gone through infertility. We'd gone through 3 babies in 4 years. All sorts of things had happened in our lives. And I had thought in each one of those cases, okay, God's going to give us babies. This is going to solve our marriage problems. Mm-hmm. Well, babies don't solve the problems of their parents' marriage. Nothing was solving this deep ache in my heart about my relationship with my husband. So because this was the 1970s and I was being inundated with the world's message. I was watching Phil Donahue in the afternoon. You know, that was before Oprah. I was reading Ladies Home Journal, Parents Magazine. Everything I was reading and everything I was getting from the world was, you are a woman, you are strong, don't let anybody tell you what to do. And, you know, if you don't like your marriage, well, you can just get out. So
did that thought enter your mind?
Oh, all the time. In fact, I threatened to leave probably after about 5 years of marriage. I started threatening to leave. And David didn't believe me because he knew I wasn't 100% serious. But on the 7th anniversary, literally, I can tell you when it was, May 6th, when we'd been married 7 years, I guess it was 1979, I looked across the table at my dear husband and I told him I was leaving. I said, David, I've had it. I am out of here. I cannot do this anymore. Mm. Tomorrow morning, I'm packing up the children and I am leaving. Nancy, I praise God that in that moment, he intervened in our lives. I know our parents had prayed for us all of our lives and God intervened. He used my husband. David would not take no for an answer. If there are any men listening to our voices right now who are wondering how they're going to recapture the hearts of their wives.
And there are some men like that.
There are lots. And we hear men who actually come to the Motherwise website and say, would you please pray for my wife?
Yes.
Pray for
yes.
my wife. She's ready to leave me. My husband stepped in that night and became the spiritual leader of our home for the very first time. He looked across the table at me. He said, you are not leaving. You are not doing this to our children. I don't know what we're going to do. At that time, in the 70s, Focus on the Family was just starting and Family Life was just, all these ministries were just starting, but we didn't know about them. We did not have all the resources mm-hmm. that are available today. And we literally did not know what God was going to do to rescue our marriage. But that night, David said, you're not going to leave me, but we are going to go home and get down beside our bed. And we are going to pray a one-word prayer because God doesn't need to hear a lot of theology from us tonight. We went home and cried, help, help, Lord. That moment that we humbled ourselves, got on our knees, and cried for help, Jesus immediately came. Now, it was an instant tea. Our marriage didn't get solved. Our marriage problems didn't get solved in one night. But it started the process. We started the move back together, and the walls began to fall. David began to humble himself before the Lord and ask my forgiveness, and I asked his forgiveness, and God began the healing process on that night.
And I know that there are many listening right now who are right where you were on your seventh anniversary. And they didn't get there overnight. It's been a process, and maybe the details are different, who started what, who said what, but they're at a desperate point. And the Lord took you and David to the place where every couple has to get if they're going to have God's kind of marriage, and that is acknowledging your own inability to solve the problem, turning to the Lord and saying, help.
You know, some of our listeners are to that point of desperation, and my heart's cry for them is that as they kneel before the Lord, that they would expect God to come in and begin the healing process. And He will. He loves the prayer for help.
And that word help is really expressing a heart of humility. The going to the knees, the bowing before the Lord is saying, I'm turning from my own way. My own way hasn't worked. I'm giving up my own way. I'm giving up my own right to solve this problem my own ways. And it brings to mind that wonderful passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, which we find in a couple of other places in Scripture as well. But it says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. And you know, when we're in the midst of that kind of, whether it's in a marriage or in a workplace environment or with a parent-child relationship or a friend, of that tension and that conflict and that wall in a relationship, the tendency, as was true in your marriage, is to point the finger and to say, it's the other person who's at fault. It's the other person who's insensitive. It's the other person who needs to humble himself. If my husband would just humble himself, if my teenager would just humble herself, if my parents would just humble themselves. But God says, no, you humble yourself. The powerful principle there that those who are proud, God opposes. And really, up until that point in your marriage, God had been setting Himself against you and your marriage, because you'd been proud. Your husband had been proud. And God was opposing. That word means to that God sets Himself in battle array against those who are proud. But what does He do for those who are humble? He pours grace. He lavishes grace. And that's exactly what God did for you and David at that moment. He poured out the desire and the power for things to change. And so I want to just say to a listener of God speaking to your heart, and we're going to hear more of Denise's story and the pathway that God set her and David on and some of the principles that God used to give them a start in their marriage. But Denise, you've just shared the starting place, and that is the cry of humility, the cry of help. And I would just say, don't wait for your husband to take you there. You go there even if he's not willing to go. And if there's a man listening, you can go there with even before your wife does. But get there. Get there as a couple as soon as you can. Get there by yourself if that's what is required. But get there. And I wonder, Denise, before we go any further, if you would just take time to, I want us to join our hearts together and pray for someone listening right now who needs to say, help, Lord, and to realize that there is hope through Christ, that marriage, you all have now been married 37 years. And what was true of those first 7 years is past. Mm-hmm. God has changed it. He has transformed it. Mm-hmm. He's given you a future and a hope and godly children and a ministry to women all around the world. So there is hope. And why don't you just lead us in praying for a listener who's where you and David were, and asking God to intervene and bring them to that place of humility, even now as they're listening.
Lord Jesus, we come before your presence for the listener whose heart is crying out to you. Father, we join them in this heart's cry. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to intervene in their circumstances.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for the one who is willing in this moment to humble themselves before your presence. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as you take them to that place of humility and emptiness and brokenness, mm-hmm, at the foot, mm-hmm, of the cross,
yes,
Father, I thank you that in that very moment, in that place, you intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we ask you to completely take control of the circumstances, and we bring the circumstances of their life and of their heart under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, we ask for a blessing upon this person who is praying and upon their family and their situation. You have even gone before us, you go behind us, and your hand of blessing is upon us. And so, Father, we thank you that as we cry out to you, you are right there in the midst of that heart's cry. So we give you the glory and the honor and the blessing as we fix our eyes on you, our hope in you, our faith in you and you alone.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
And I'm just believing that even this day, God is in the process of renewing, restoring marriages, lives, taking people to the cross, and giving a fresh new start. And that's not to say, as you reminded us, Denise, that the changes will all take place overnight, but immediately God will come and begin that process of rescue and redemption in that life, in that marriage. And it may be that your husband will not come back. It may be that the pride and the dysfunction have gone so far that he is not willing to turn his heart, but you can turn your heart, and God can give you grace. And I'd encourage you, if you've cried out to God today with that prayer, help. If you've humbled yourself before the Lord and said, God, I cannot go on this way, would you intervene in my life, in my marriage? If you've cried out that way today, I want to encourage you to go to our website, reviveourhearts.com, and email us. Let us know that you've prayed that prayer today. And we have a team of prayer partners who will pray for you. They will pray for your marriage. And we'll do whatever we can to encourage and serve you in that process, believing God, the Redeemer, God, who is making all things new, to do that for you and for your marriage starting today.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss and her guest, Denise Glenn. To follow up on Nancy's suggestions to write to our team, visit reviveourhearts.com, and toward the top of the screen, you'll see a button that says Contact. Once you click that, you'll be able to send an email that's only seen by our staff. If, on the other hand, you have a comment or question that would be helpful for everyone to read, I hope you'll leave it on the Revive Our Hearts listener blog. At reviveourhearts.com, just scroll to the bottom of today's transcript, then leave your comment or question there. I know a lot of women are going to benefit from this content at reviveourhearts.com and respond to today's program. We're thankful for the chance to speak biblical truth to women using these channels. The website and the radio program exist thanks to listeners who believe in the ministry and want to keep making it possible. When you contribute any amount to Revive Our Hearts, you're helping us stay on the radio in your area. You're also helping us provide rich content at reviveourhearts.com. To thank you for your gift, we'd like to send you a workbook from Denise Glenn called Wisdom for Mothers. It's an 8-week study based on Proverbs 31. It will strengthen your walk with God and offer practical wisdom on being a wife and mom. Ask for wisdom from others when you call with your gift of any amount. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, today we heard how Denise Glenn and her husband prayed the one word, help, to the Lord. Well, tomorrow we'll hear how he answered that prayer. I hope you'll be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.